Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode, a very special episode of Talk to Me in the Car. Typically, these podcasts are recorded about education every Monday, and we record it in the car to talk about all things related to teaching and things and ways that get teachers excited and engaged in their classrooms and get students engaged as well. But we're changing our podcast for the indefinite future from Talk to Me in the Car to Talk to Me in the Coronavirus. And I think for now, it'll be a good time for us as educators to lean in every day, not every week, but every day, with new strategies, new ideas, new highlights, new showcase pieces about ways that we can keep our classrooms safe and supported, even if we're not in our physical classrooms with so many people being affected by this coronavirus. We'll talk all about it pretty much every day. Yesterday's podcast was the launch of this very special run. And today we're going to dive deep into homework and what that could look like for online classes or distance learning. But before we get there, some thoughts real quick about some programming notes. If you like what you're hearing and you want to tune in more or hear more, please feel free to leave a rating or a comment on your favorite podcasting app. It's a great way to get other people access to this podcast, because the more ratings it has, the more people can see it. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Likewise, you want to strike up further conversation? Let's talk on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU, and I'm available pretty much whenever I'm awake now, because I'm not in school. So as my school is on distance learning plan from now through the 20th of April, I'll be available anytime. So if you wanted to set up a Skype or a Google Hangout, we can do that too. Just message me. Anything I can do to help you out, I would love to. As a, you know, they say in, I think it's White Christmas, what do you do with a general when he stops being a general? What do you do with an instructional coach when he stops being a coach? Here I am as a guy who typically spends every day working with teachers across all content areas, English, math, science, history, religion, world languages, elective courses. And as a speaker and as a consultant, traveling all over the United States and conferences and schools and districts, working with teachers to get them excited about learning. I still got that itch, right? You know, and I can't scratch it now with the schools, of course, are closed and the travel is not safe. So yeah, let's talk. Let's set up a Skype. Let's set up a Google Hangout and let's do some remote lesson planning. There's more things you can have than an instructional coach on call. So give me a shout. Let's set something up. I would love to. And that'll be on Twitter. We can, whatever it is. Likewise, I share resources on my website, which is www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline, like educational adrenaline. And I share templates and activities and plans for distance learning and multimedia and ways to just keep our kids engaged, whether we're in our classrooms or in our houses, because this is really uncharted waters for a lot of us, and I want to be able to help and share whatever I can. And I also have a book, which may be of value to you. If you like what you're hearing on the podcast and like you hear on the website, the book has many resources that I can point you to about ways to do in-class, ways to change the game, but also ways to keep our students engaged beyond our four walls of our school building. And the book is called Adrenaline Rush, so you can check it out on the website. But today I want to talk about homework. Yesterday we kicked off this special run of the podcast. We talked about just ground rules for distance learning. For many of us who may not have taken online classes ourselves, there's, I guess, a lack of expectation of what we are to do, right? School closes 2 hours early and says, okay, come up with your distance learning plan for the next 3 weeks. What? Are you kidding me? Like, that's so much. So I wanted to kind of walk through some homework ideas for teachers, some resources that can be of value to us, and a more granular look at some specific tools or techniques or strategies that can be things to keep in mind for you, while at the same time some trouble spots, problem spots you may want to watch out for, and things if you're an admin or, you know, in any way a team leader, that you can work with your own team to make sure that everyone's in the same page. So some ground rules first. If you're a teacher of littles, I'm talking like kindergarten through maybe third or fourth grade, it is going to be really hard to do distance learning. We'll be 100% direct with that. I think the easiest way for anyone who's thinking about or considering doing distance learning, if they are from like a K through four, and maybe even some of our middle school teachers, is to recognize that your students will not have guaranteed structure. The one thing your class offers them every day is, you know, clarity, consistency, routines, procedures, and consequences. When they're at home, if they are able to be at home with their parents or family, it's going to be a challenge, because parents are not teachers by trade. Parents will often be working from home themselves while their kids are doing other things. And if the parents are working from home on the school internet or their one internet device that the parent has, what is the child expected to be able to do? We all know that burying kids in worksheets and packets is not the best idea. But suddenly, asking students to make dioramas for every class means that we have to put parents in a situation, or families in a situation, where they have to go buy all of these expensive supplies, whether it's, you know, popsicle sticks, or toothpicks, or marshmallows, or whatever the case might be. So we do have to be mindful of that. I guess the biggest tip I can give to teachers of littles or middles is we are in an unprecedented amount of time. And if you see your students for more than one period a day, if you're like a third grade teacher and you see the students for pretty much, you know, 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours a day, consider shifting to something that might be a broader cross-curricular unit project where they have a chance to flex a bunch of different skills by doing one project over the course of several days. And we can talk about ways that you could check in with them and what that could look like. But, example, if you want students to, like, talk about the effects of the coronavirus or trace the impact of the coronavirus, that's a history assignment. That's a social studies assignment, right? Because they have to talk about, you know, different things on different places on the web, what they found and where the research comes from. But then they also could write about that, and that could be on a worksheet or a website or a blog or a Google Doc or a Microsoft Word document where they're just writing about what they found, right? If they're breathing in information, then they could breathe out, you know, what the best of what they've learned. And that could be scaffolded up or down. There's a bunch of great resources like News ELA. Send an email today to all educators around the world that they're offering the full suite of their product for free during the coronavirus times. So schools have been affected by these closures. News ELA, if you've never used it, it's an awesome website that allows you to push a button to scaffold a text. So that which is written for a typical audience of, let's say, adults, with the push of a button can be kind of change some of that language automatically, almost like a Google Translate. And then that same text is more easily accessible to students who read it at a different level. So if you saw a headline that says, you know, coronavirus pandemic, now a national emergency, declares Donald Trump, right? That's a very involved thing with, as the president said, two very big words. So what if we could take some of those words out, but still get that message across? You push the News ELA button, you know, you use the software, and suddenly you say, I want to scale this down to like an eighth grade level. And it says suddenly, coronavirus causes nationwide concerns, you know, according to the president. You say, let's scaffold that down to a fourth grade level. And then you say, virus causes schools to close. Same thing, just sort of scaled at different levels, and I hope you can get a sense of that. It's an awesome software, and it's really, really helpful. So again, if students are expected to read this thing as maybe their history assignment for the day, the reading of that could take 10 minutes, 7 minutes, but then the writing about it, hey, what did you think about that? What stood out to you the most? Could be their English assignment for 7 to 10 minutes a day. It's one article, but it hits two or three different modalities or two different content areas. This is not the time to worry about grammar. This is not the time to worry about teaching brand new content like, hey, I want you to teach yourself To Kill a Mockingbird, because in truth, the average kid just won't do it. Talking about homework assignments can span many areas. If you're a teacher of middle school or elementary, maybe they read an article about the coronavirus, which you've emailed to them or put through your school's LMS or printed out copies and before they left, whatever that is, made a packet, you know, a go-home packet. They read about it. They're expected to write about it. Maybe then they draw a picture of it. They draw a picture of what does the virus look like, or how can we protect ourselves, you know, like wearing masks, washing hands. So leaving a little bit of sketchnoting, suddenly that hits the modalities of like art and visual representation. And that's helpful because now you have like a de facto art class where on one day you can say, okay, they read an article. That's now their history or social studies assignment. They wrote about that article. Now that's their English assignment. They talked about the impact of the virus, or they had some questions for reflection about how viruses spread, which is now their science assignment for the day. And, oh yeah, they drew some pictures, so they have like their arts. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of an assignment out of one assignment. And if a student reads that article and spends 7 to 10 minutes on each of those projects, now you're talking about a 40, 50, 60 minute assignment out of just one thing. Believe it or not, for our younger learners, that might be all they're able to do in their time away from school, because it's a very clear unit that kind of fits together as one thing to do all at once. So read this one thing and do like 5 things with it. If you wanted to, you can make a flip grid. Hey, after you've done that, now we turn into a rhetoric or a presentation course, like after you've done all of these things, go ahead and open up this flip grid and give a presentation of what you learned. Maybe talk about how the virus spreads or show your picture on camera and whatever that looks like. If your students have reliable internet access, making the Flipgrid could take another 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and if they don't like their video, they can make it again, whatever that could look like. But that, in conjunction with everything else, is now a multi modality, cross-curricular, really good assignment that's relevant and real. And then on the next day, you can say, talking about travel bans, these are the 7 or 10 countries that have been most highly affected by it. Let's talk about types of things that have been canceled or changed or postponed as a result of this coronavirus. So students can learn about the NBA season or Major League Baseball's spring training, or they can learn about the cancellation of major concerts or festivals, and they can read articles from places like USA Today or Rolling Stone about artists and how much money they're making or losing. And again, knowing your students, knowing your audience, suddenly you have like a business class. They're talking about canceling WrestleMania in April, which is set to be in Tampa. Though you may or may not be a pro wrestling fan, and it's fine if you're not, that event will bring over, or is scheduled to bring over, $100 million to the city of Tampa, and it's expected to invite people from like 50 to 70 different countries all over the world to a gathering of a stadium that will have like 80,000 people. But that's not scheduled to take place until like the first week of April. Here we are in early March. Is it time to call it? Is that appropriate? People have to make travel plans. We have a travel ban for 30 days in Europe. There's a lot of questions to consider for this, right? And now it becomes a business assignment and a sports assignment, which is sort of like PE, where even though professional wrestling is scripted, they are doing physical activity and putting performers in close proximity with one another, where they're shaking hands or high-fiving with fans or signing autographs or making FaceTime with one another in a performance environment where they're sweating and, you know, like there's snot, blood, sweat, and tears, whatever that is. It's a think piece, and it could be the thing that could get your students just thinking about, wow, I never thought about it, but the NBA has to cancel because in order to do their job, they have to sweat, they have to touch each other, they have to be in a position where they're breathing right next to one another, and then the fans have to be there in those stadiums, and it costs money to run a stadium. This is all, now it's a business class, it's a politics class, it's a global studies class, and there's a lot of math in that too. Again, picking assignments that really can lend themselves to that are really helpful ways to make meaningful work out of what could be otherwise a really tough time. I'm asking my students to just create their own blog and blog about anything they want to. Could be sports or movies. Maybe they're binge watching a show on Netflix that they love, or they're playing a video game and they're, you know, killing it in Fortnite. And I want them to post regular updates about the thing that they love. So like they're picking a lane and they're learning how to become influencers or student bloggers, maybe finding their voice or their passion. So if they care about sports, they can write up all about, you know, the NFL free agent season with Tom Brady's contract coming up, or they can talk about the cancellation of 4 and 5 and 6 different seasons and what's that going to look like for the finances involved with these leagues or these different things. They can become a blogger about travel and say, hey, all this travel stuff has been really affected by the coronavirus. The Disney parks have decided to close through the end of the month of March. They stand to lose hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, and that's like a major pillar of the Disney brand is the theme park business. How much will that have ripple effects with canceled movies and funds that are not able to do for new projects? That's cool. And students become, you know, experts on that. Or maybe they're playing Fortnite and they're saying, hey, I want to Twitch stream or video stream how to, you know, become the expert in, you know, the Dusty Divot or the Tilty Towers. And I want to walk you through like a video walkthrough like PewDiePie or Ninja. Make a YouTube-style video talking about the thing that they're already doing for fun. That's cool because there's a presentation element and there's a passion element. It's like 20 time or Google, you know, 20 time where you have a chance to just do your thing, man, and just talk about what your thing is. Maybe they're cooking every day, or maybe they're working through in this time away the college application process. Maybe they want to start a blog called Life in Lockdown. You know, what it's like to be a 12-year-old in a world where you can't go outside or you can't hang out with your friends. Or, you know, maybe they're binge watching a show on Netflix and for every episode they watch, they're going to watch or write a review. Oh man, my favorite episode of The Office is blah, blah, blah. I just streamed season 1 and all of season 1. Here are the top 3 episodes and why. Here's a March Madness style bracket with Seth Rogen movies. And every day I'm going to watch a new Seth Rogen movie and I'm going to compare it against another one and have a face-to-face, head-to-head showdown of why movie A is better than movie B. Why The Interview is a better movie than Pineapple Express, or why, you know, Superbad is a better movie than Knocked Up. Like, that's super cool because I don't really care what the right or wrong answer is. I want students to be comfortable doing the homework that I'm asking them to do, and we can kind of trick ourselves into having fun with it. So it's not just rote memorization of old concepts and scripted curriculum. Like, when schools are in a place where if Disney's canceling theme parks and major movies and major sporting events are canceling everything, I think we're very real at a position where many schools will be looking at whether or not to cancel standardized testing, APs, end of year massive exams, final exams, things like that, assessments, because we're just on uncharted waters. So what if over the time away, projects were not just, hey, tonight I want you to go home and build a log cabin out of popsicle sticks and marshmallows, but I want you to take a few days and build that thing. And as you build that thing, let's tie it into 3 and 4 different disciplines. Oh, you built a log cabin. Cool. Abe Lincoln lived in a log cabin. Let's talk about the history of that and the architecture of that. Why did you make the decisions that you made? How did you make those decisions that you made? And walk us through it so that students are demonstrating through many modalities, hey, there's some art to that, there's some math to that, there's some science to it, there's some history, there's some English. And in the end, that one project is able to make 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 different things happen all at once. For my teachers of older students, if you have students who are working in all sorts of classes, like let's say 6 or 7 or 8 classes a day, I can't stress it enough. Please do not go into business for yourself and make students do an hour worth of classwork, quote unquote, and an hour worth of homework on top of that. Because what's going to happen is if they have 2 hours of work for your class every day, they're not going to do work for my class, because they're going to feel overwhelmed and they're going to turn their brains off because they're teenagers and they're going to be overwhelmed very, very quickly. And if they have younger brothers or sisters to take care of at the house or friends who are texting or TikToking with them, that's a lot more exciting than 2 hours of trigonometry. And I get it. There's something to be said for keeping their skills sharp, but I'm asking us to find practical real-world examples of how our stuff fits into our world outside of school. And then in the spirit of what English class is, can we capitalize on real passion-based learning, real choice-based learning, real project-based learning, real application of those things? Because if they're just killing and drilling worksheets again and again and again, they're going to wind up tuning out from all of the other classes because they fried their brains on the first thing, and that's going to create ripple effects through all of the other courses that they're expected to teach. After a day or 2 days, they're going to stop checking the internet altogether, and they're not going to post to their LMS, they're not going to post to the discussion forums, they're not going to post to their Flipgrids or their presentations. And I think that that's a real problem. So as educators, we have to be in lockstep. And if you're a school administrator or a team leader, I can't stress that enough. Talk to your people and make sure that they are in the understanding that per class, per day, between quote homework and quote classwork, every person should have no more than like 40 minutes worth of work assigned if you're teaching middles or high schools, because you're already asking students to pay attention to the internet for like 6 to 7 hours a day. That's a lot, man. And if I ask you to do that for your own professional development, if your admin asks you to tune in to 6 to 7 hours worth of teacher training on the internet per day and turn in work products for 6 to 7 hours a day while you had your own kids and your own meals to prep and your own shopping to do and your own viruses to prevent against, that would shut it down real quick. And that's with our adult coping skills. Can we imagine what that feels like for our students? Again, lots to talk about, and every day we'll talk about more episodes, more information, more tips and strategies. I hope these podcasts you're finding it helpful. I do really appreciate the people who've reached out. Thank you so much for the good news that's coming from you. And let's keep talking. Another episode tomorrow, we'll go more granular about specific tech tools that we can use to just sort of lay the groundwork for our classes while we're away. Thanks for tuning in. These podcasts are typically much shorter during the regular times, but I figure with this time away, it probably helps to just spend a little bit more time and be a little more thorough. So I appreciate you tuning in. Thanks so much, and we'll talk tomorrow. Bye for now.